Today, being the first Friday of the month, is a special day for us to unite our hearts with the feeling of Christ crucified. It also coincides with the feast of the great Saint Thomas Aquinas. What a perfect occasion to discuss the Sacred Heart through the lens of his teachings. Even though he has endowed with the finest sensibility, the physical pains endured by our Lord were insignificant compared to his inner sufferings. Contemplating the awfulness of his bodily sufferings only helps to better understand how immense the desolation of his hurt was. According to the scientists, Jesus would have died in a few hours from this inner pain alone, even if he had escaped the other torments. But why did Jesus suffer like this in his heart? Jesus Christ is both God and man. He, the eternal Word, is omniscient, knowing absolutely everything, everywhere and at all times. Yet, despite this infinite knowledge, God does not suffer. He cannot suffer. He is infinitely happy, and this cannot change, for he is absolutely immutable. So, it was not in his divinity that Jesus suffered. As a man, he shares our nature entirely. Yet, his knowledge has always been far greater than ours. Illuminated by the divine light, his knowledge is almost unlimited. The doctors of the law were amazed by this child so full of wisdom. From his mother's womb, Jesus, in his human intelligence, saw at every moment of his life everything that concerned him as the head of creation, that's to say, everything that is, was, and ever will be done, said, or thought by anyone in any time and in any place. Can you imagine for a moment what it must be like to know every being that exists, has existed, and will ever exist? The thoughts of his heart are from generation to generation, can we read in the Mass of the Sacred Heart. You will contemplate all the beauty of the creations, of the creation at every moment. You will know all the laws of nature. You will see the origins of the world, the end of time, the course of the planets and the number of stars. You will foresee all the achievements of human genius, the progress of the arts, of science and of technology. You will see it in an instant, and you will see all history, the secrets of every event. You will know every creature in detail, right down to its number of heirs. Even without considering his divinity as a man, Jesus knew all this and much more. He saw all the graces he would give through his sacred humanity, all the prayers that will arise from souls, every baptism, every Mass, and every single communion. But a terrible secret can be a heavy burden on human shoulders. Jesus saw also all the disorder of nature. He perceived the damage of disease, the violence of death. He knew perfectly well the weaknesses of wounded nature, the strength of the evil inclinations and habits of each creature. As a man, he could already see the torments awaiting the damned with their body and soul, from whom he would still shed all his blood. We cannot imagine the inner suffering Jesus bore daily because of his immense knowledge. Jesus, in his human soul, saw at every moment the countless crimes committed by men throughout history. He saw every blasphemy, every sacrilege, every kind of hatred directed against God, that is, directed against himself. He saw all those souls turned away from him by illusions. In his humanity, he was aware of every act of rebellion, of pride, every movement of anger, of jealousy, every bitter word pronounced or whispered in the secret of the heart, echoed in some part of his knowledge at every single moment of his life. Every assault on life, every lack of charity, every lie and every injustice. So it was mostly this terrible knowledge that mysteriously burdened his human heart in his passion. like a heavy secret, all these sins, all these crimes really did rest on his tired shoulders, and he felt the full weight of them. What more should I have done that I didn't? Crushed by suffering, overwhelmed by sorrow, it is our sins that he carried on his sacred heart. Our sins, which are offenses against God, inflicted wounds on the sacred heart of Jesus Christ himself. Then, the uncreated Word, the Almighty Master of the universe, throwing himself to the ground with a face full of tears, dust and blood, will apparently have no one left to console his hurt of flesh. An angel will come to him and bring him comfort. But who will be the man who will rise from his sleep to comfort him? Can we see him? He is saddened to death because of our faults, the innocent one who could be never convinced to sin. Yet, no one will come to see him except the traitor to betray him. I waited for someone to weep with me, but no one did, for someone to comfort me, but I found no one. I have seen you, he still say. It is our turn to look at the one we have pierced. By the grace he has earned for us, by our prayers, but by the fulfillment of our duties, we can offer him a vision that will bring him some consolation. Not that he now needs to be consoled, for he has died once and for all and suffer no more in heaven. Not that he needs consolation now, but because what we do today was seen by him during his passion and agony. Depends on us whether we were instruments of his sorrows or, through our fidelity to his grace, a source of consolation for the Word of God. Let us ask Our Lady, who was the greatest consolation of the heart of Jesus, to teach us to live more fully under the gaze of her Son, to offer him the consolation of an ever purer and an ever holier life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.